Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart with Conscious Connection. I'm very excited to talk to you today with my author, Kate Sutherland. Let me tell you a little bit about Kate. She's an author and consultant who specializes in custom design and facilitation of game-changing processes for organizations and programs and communities as well. She has a passion for helping individuals and organizations come together in great alignment with their core purpose. She creates dynamic, high-trust environments that support groups to be generative, effective, and fun. Kate's latest book, which we'll be talking about, is Making Light Work in Groups, 10 Tools to Transform Meetings, Companies, and Communities, introduces powerful frameworks that are helpful for leaders, managers, and coaches, plus change makers, parents, and more. So I have Kate on the other line. I'm thrilled to speak to her. And let me get Kate Sutherland on the line here.
Hello, Kate.
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. You're there. How are you?
I'm very well, and you?
Good, good. I'm very pleased to speak to you tonight on Conscious Connection. So we have a lot to talk about here because the book is so informative here. And one of the questions I'd like to ask you is you talk about the shift from intractable possible in a group situation. And what inspires your sense of possibility?
Well, I had an experience about 20 years ago of a group being in complete deadlock. There were about 60 people sitting in a circle, and half the group said no, and half the group said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was what I call intractable. It was for 90 minutes people talked, some red-faced, some totally, like, highly, highly agitated. No real shift when we were doing it by talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was a community where there was a practice of going into meditation. And we took the question of yes or no into meditation. And the question was, should we include people who are currently excluded from something called core group? Should we include them in the center of the center of the center of our group, our community?
Hmm.
So it was a pretty common issue. And
yeah,
when the group went into meditation, we were asked when we came out just to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never forget the feeling in that room. It was yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. It was 60 people in a row said yes.
Mm.
It was, the room felt like the air was thick. There
Wow.
was such a profound shift, and there was no resistance to it. It was as though a miracle had happened. There was this this shift from an intractable situation to a way forward that we were united and unanimous about, and there was no backlash. There was no resistance going forward.
That's absolutely wonderful. Did that help you get inspired to write the book, Make Light Works in Groups, the 10 Tools to Transformation Meetings, Companies, and Communities?
That definitely was the spark. It happened about 20 years ago, and I only wrote the book last year, or finished it last year, and I was very very shy about it, actually. I didn't, leaving that community, which was called the Findhorn Foundation in Scotland, I didn't think people in my city, in Vancouver, Canada, would be interested in doing meditation. My work was informed by what I experienced, but it felt too woo-woo, too out there, too impossible. And so it took me quite a long time to come out of the closet, as it were, and to write the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting is FinTorn is such a progressive community, you wouldn't think there would have been that much resistance to something new or different.
There wasn't at FinTorn, no. But okay. leaving it and coming back to my home country and to my work, which is working in communities and organizations, I now find there's way less resistance. There's a lot of openness. I actually find that people are very curious and that there's way more availability for working in these ways that I call inner work, or working more with intuition and intention and perception and consciousness.
Yeah, so in what you're saying, you're pointing to the power of inner work. Can you say more about what inner work is so our audience here at Conscious Connection will get a better idea?
Okay, well, in that story, when we sat down to meditate together, we were doing a kind of inner work. We're working, quote-unquote, on the inner. We were using, in this case, guided visualization to access our inner understanding, our inner knowing about what was trying to happen in the community. And we were doing a way of, we sought alignment with what was, the understanding was we were part of a community, and that community had an energetic essence, or it had a way, it was unfolding through us, and that we were connected to something much larger than who we were individually. And so that particular kind of inner work was about bringing ourselves into alignment. We were working with intention to be in alignment with the community as a whole and what was trying to come through. There are other kinds of inner work. We can talk about, for example, shifting our perception from glass half full to... the other way around. Glass half empty to glass half full.
I was going to say, I'm interested to hear what that would be. One thing I have to comment, though, our United States government, I don't know how the Canadian government runs, but our leaders, Democrats and Republicans, could sure use some inner work, that's for sure.
I believe we all can. I mean, I think for myself, anytime I'm struggling, I believe there's something I can do, either shifting my perception or connecting to my deepest intention, or taking a few breaths. I love the name of your show, Conscious Connections. And I think when we work consciously, we bring attention to how we're showing up, to the quality of our being. That changes everything.
Yeah. Yes, it does. That's for sure, and it's so much more needed. People in the world, I feel right now, are in so much in reaction. They just don't stop and think of the larger picture and the effects that their decisions have to make on the planet as a whole, whether it be corporate executives or government officials. They just don't think of the long-term outcome and really search their soul to serve somebody other than themselves.
Right.
What are a few of your favorite frameworks? I have the tools here, appreciative inquiry, trust theory, chaotic design, generative dialogue, adaptive cycle, enterprise facilitation, theory U, process-oriented psychology, integral theory, and conscious co-creation. So what stands out for your frameworks is one you like to work? If you'd like to, we do have time, I believe, to go through quite a few of them, if you'd like to let our listeners
okay.
Conscious Connect.
Yes. Well, first thing I wanted to say was that we're all working with frameworks all the time. So we have frameworks like beginning, middle, and end as a very, very simple framework, or introvert versus extrovert as a way of helping us see a situation. And And one of my favorite ones is called Trust Theory. And it says that the most important dimension in a group situation or in individually is where we are on the spectrum between fear and trust.
Mm-hmm.
That the higher our trust, the more effective and happier and more positive our life will be. And the lower our trust, the tighter and more constricted and constrained our life will be.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a metaphor.
Yes. Yes. And what the person who created this framework is called Jack Gibb. And he said that it's kind of like gravity, or it's totally natural that when we have high trust, then we naturally open up and say what we really think, what we really care about, what we really want, what we really feel. And when we're doing that, we naturally get more of what we want. We're more fully realized. We live fuller, more fulfilling and meaningful lives. And when you have a group of people doing that, you naturally get more and more interdependence and community. So
very
I have...
Is there a specific exercise or process you take people through? Say you go to a random group to get them into a space of high trust. Is there, or did either you or Jack Gibb develop an exercise or program to get people in accordance with that so they process things quicker, you know, in a group situation or organizational situation?
Yes, Jack used to do a lot of very simple trust exercises with groups where he would get people to do kind of things like leading each other around without being able to see, or being picked, you know, a person lying down and being picked up by 6 or 8 people, those kinds of trust activities that highlight our choice about whether or not we trust or not, that would give people a kind of a embodied experience of, I'm not trusting, and now I decide it's okay. Actually, it's I trust now, and to and to bring more awareness to that choice point.
Mm-hmm.
There's another whole piece though that Jack argued that the most significant influence on the level of trust in a group one of the most significant influences is the person who's facilitating or who's leading the group, how much they trust themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how much they trust the group and how much they trust life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those pieces of our inner awareness, that inner work to bring trust, and that when if you're in a group situation, Gary, and you bring a lot of trust to the situation, you're such a naturally joyous, open person that people will naturally trust you, and you'll help create a bubble of trust around you that will allow people to be more open and to speak more freely, and I'm sure you noticed that.
Well, I did notice it, but you're really putting words to what I noticed at the conference where we met in Seattle there, and that's exactly what happened. So it gives me insight into what I generate, and I call it unconditional love, but now that I hear you speaking about it, it really is trust, and people really open up quickly and do large transformative changes. So that's absolutely wonderful. What other frameworks do you like outside of the trust theory that you just spoke about that Jack Gibb developed?
Yeah, there's another one that's very, very powerful called appreciative inquiry. Mm-hmm. And that's where the fundamental, like the headline statement is, focus on possibilities, not problems.
Mm-hmm.
And where we have a tendency in group settings and in our lives to focus on the problems, to say everything that's wrong. We say this group is so toxic and nobody listens and we're having so many, nobody's doing what they said they would do. And what the fellow who developed Appreciative Inquiry, his name is David Cooper Ryder, what he discovered is that there, even in the most dysfunctional organization, there's always something that's working well.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you pay attention to what's working well and inquire into it, like, how is it that this is working so well, that that you'll get some positive energy and a sense of possibility. So I find that a very, I'm often invited to work with groups that are having trouble, and I always start with looking at what's working well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I find it makes a huge difference. It makes a difference when I'm working with my daughter. You know, she's not cleaning her room. Mm. And, you know, it's easy to focus on what she's not doing. And if I bring my attention to what she is doing and to honoring and appreciating the things that she is doing positively, that mm-hmm. tends to encourage more of it and to go better. I have a much better relationship with her.
And how old is she?
She's 18.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's time.
Yes, it's more than time. It's actually, I'm not doing it so much anymore because she's actually off at university now. But when she was younger, you know, in that sort of 13, 14, 15, it was a very helpful piece for me to work with.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Keep
your perspective as a mother.
Keep my perspective. Yeah.
And I have another question here. Can you give us an example of how one of these frameworks has been implemented in a group situation? Like, does someone come to you in a group and say, you know, we're having this problem or that problem, we need an outside vision of what's really going on? Then you would apply some of the exercises from the different tools that you have that you mention in your book here, Make Light Work in Groups?
Yes, I have a couple of stories. One of them is a beautiful illustration of a framework, a piece of a framework called, the idea is called Holons.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a woman who was in a community where there was a lot of gang violence and a lot of youth-involved violence, and she wanted to have influence in turning that around and making a big difference in her community. And she did research and found that in that group called youth, there were actually many, many subgroups. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems was that people were lumping too many people, too many different kinds of youth into one category called youth. So that the youth who were of the Korean extraction were in a different situation than the youth who were of indigenous First Nations, who were in a different kind of situation than the people who were of East Indian extraction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a concept called holon, which says that everything is both a part and a whole.
Mm.
It's a different way of seeing to say that I am an individual person. I'm a whole, but I'm a part of my family.
Mm.
And I'm both at the same time. I'm both an individual and I'm a part of my family. You can't take that apart, because
right.
I wouldn't be me without my family. So the Ken Wilber, who came up, he uses this word holon, H-O-L-O-N, and says that we're both part and whole.
Mm.
And what came out of that was that the local police and fire and all of the services in that community started to relate to youth differently, because they started to realize that they weren't all one glump. They started
right.
to be far. They started to make their communication and their interactions far more specific to who they were dealing with,
mm.
and they also then were able to engage youth in a way that they never had before, in youth addressing their own issue, you know, youth, but different subsets of the groups. So multiple projects came out of that work that have cumulatively made quite a difference in that community.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's the whole part is very, I find that very helpful, because most of the time myself and others, our natural tendency is to make some kind of globalizing statement, like, you know, people today don't read
right.
newspapers, you know, and like we make huge statements, and then we're not really discerning of all the subgroups and all the, or
right,
you say
exactly.
everyone in this, you know, everyone in this organization is an egghead, you know, well, that's not going to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So to be, it makes me much more, that framework helps me be much more discerning about whole and part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent. Was there any
yeah.
other situation? We have a good 8 minutes left, so I want to make sure I alert people where they can purchase your book and contact you. But was there any other situation you worked on?
Yeah, there was another beautiful one where a woman came to a workshop that I gave that was in the framework called generative dialogue, which is a way of mapping and distinguishing four different kinds of conversation that can happen in groups. And the first reason that this woman had for coming to the workshop was that she wanted to get some professional training. She wanted to get some fancy words to be able to throw around at her meeting to sort of make her feel more of an expert in group work and group dynamics. And the particular framework that she came to learn about just turned her world completely upside down, because it said that to get to the most interesting kinds of conversations, the ones where breakthroughs can happen, you actually have to let go of your current way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
or at least be able to suspend it, right? To be able to...
Yeah.
You're able to say, okay, this has been my opinion for a long time, but why do I think that way? Where does that opinion come from? Why am I so attached to it? And what if I didn't hold so tightly to that opinion? So she was in this course, and she said her whole world was turned upside down, because she suddenly... What she got the power of questioning her assumptions and questioning her judgments, and she wanted what would come from that, and so she felt kind of confused and quite undone at first. But then what she did was she went back to the place where she worked. She works in a health authority, and
mm-hmm.
she talked to a few of her closest colleagues and invited them to be part of conversations where they would suspend and question and explore why they thought the way they did. And they started to, they were working in treatment of substance use, you know, people who had addictions of various kinds. And they started to question, what do we mean by treatment? What do we mean
right.
by harm reduction? And what happened in their work was that she said doors of possibility, whole worlds of possibility opened up, because they were able to look at things in completely different ways. And they we're able to take an area that's often very, 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 very challenging and find completely different ways of working that led to much better outcomes for the people that they were serving.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's that. So just that framework about mapping these four different ways that groups can talk, and from politeness on the one side to and debate, which are kind of tend to be familiar. It's not very new. All of the that happens there, to shifting up into inquiry and flow. So, and the framework is like an invitation. It's like a map saying, if we wanted to, hey group, we could go to this really beautiful place. But in mm-hmm. order to do that, we have to cross this big divide. We have to let mm-hmm. go of our assumptions.
Yes. I think the generate dialogue would create world peace if many participated in it. We all have these beliefs, and you know, Christians against Muslims, capitalism against communism. I mean, you look at the whole world; it's living in duality in beliefs, and it's just quite unbelievable that we haven't evolved as a species to this kind of work to establish a cooperative environment for everyone on the planet.
Yep. And what's powerful about the framework? You can draw that particular framework. Like you imagine that you're drawing a pie and cutting it into four evenly. I've drawn it on the back of napkins, 100 times, and people mm-hmm. get it in a couple of minutes, and it then changes the nature of the conversation. It's an mm-hmm. it's like an invitation to have a different conversation in mm-hmm. 2 to 3 minutes. And I think it does help us go from, as exactly as you're saying, these intractable problems that we have to something that's leveraging the power of consciousness to really, really shift what happens on the planet.
Yes, that's absolutely wonderful. And we just have a couple minutes left here, so I want to make sure I get people your book information and contact information here. Is that we have about 30 seconds before I do that. Is there one thing you'd like people to take away from our conversation here?
I would love people to know that there is a whole new way of being in groups. Not new, it's an old way that if they can leverage the power of their inner knowing, the power of intention, and the power of working consciously with perception, how they're seeing in group situations. We've had an agricultural revolution, an industrial revolution, an information revolution, and now we're having a consciousness revolution.
Yes, absolutely. Very well put. So how would you like people to contact you for the book here? We'll have you say it, and then I'll type it on my live link that I'll send you.
Okay. It's available through makelightwork.org, www.makelightwork.org. Or people can be in touch with me directly at 604-314-0835.
And how about
email? Email is kate, R as in Robert, Sutherland.com. Yeah. And I want to give a big shout-out to you, Gary, for this. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It's been wonderful to speak to you. And there's just so many layers of consciousness here that it's really wonderful that there's pragmatic ways to solve many problems rather than be stuck in an unending battle, which seems to be the case on planet Earth right now. So I'm very hopeful that people, especially working groups and organizations, get your book and learn from the examples you have just to communicate better and be more conscious. So until we speak again, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. My author tonight is Kate Sutherland, and her book here is Make Light Work in Group, 10 Tools to Transform Things, Companies, and Communities. It's been an honor, Kate, and I will send you the link in a couple minutes. So thank you very much.
Thank you,
and
Gary.
Namaste.
Namaste to you.
Till we speak again, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.